Different start. Well, let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just give thanks for right now for every soul that is in this house. We give thanks, Father, for what you've prepared for this house. Not for what I've prepared, but for what you've prepared for me, through me, for this house. We pray, I pray, Father, you open up these minds to receive this word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Whew, I'm going to take a little bit of water real quick. Now, as usual, when I start talking, don't get all freaked out about the subject that I mentioned, because it's kind of opposite of what church might be. But I want to talk to you about nightlife, right? Some people are getting excited. When I say to you nightlife, I mean, what do you think of it? People think of different things. You know, for those of you who don't know, I work in a bar. And a lot of people ask me, you know, what's the nightlife here in San Antonio? And I'll tell them, you know, well, it depends on where you're from. You know, if you're from a big place like New York or, you know, maybe L.A., the nightlife here is not going to be very great. You know what I mean? We have places you can go and dance and, you know, get turnt and stuff like that. But the nightlife here is just different. You come from a bigger place where there's all these kinds of bars, like in Austin, where they have bars lined up and you can go from one place to another, from a DJ to a band. You know, I'm going somewhere, trust me. Nightlife, right? Some places have a higher nightlife and others have a lower. You feel me? You follow me? You awake? Amen. Nightlife? How about your social life? Huh? What's that like? If you know, you got girls coming and going, that's a pretty good social life, right? Amen? Now serving number 55. Yeah, baby. Huh? That's a good social life, right? Has a lot of life to it. I'm trying to get your minds wrapped around something, because I want to talk to you about your prayer life. Amen? Now, your prayer life is a lot like fire. For those of you who don't know, I'm an ex-pyromaniac. I used to always play with fire. Right? If I came over to your house and it was quiet, you had to go look for Lionel, and most likely he was out in your garage dipping a little bit of paper in your lawnmower to get that gasoline, because I like playing with fire. It was the most fun thing I could ever do. I like different types of accelerants, you know what I mean, like lighter fluids and stuff like that. Those are just, you know, but nothing was better than gas. Gas just, I mean, it was just like, woof. And I loved it, and my eyes were just, you know. Anyway, so I used to play with fire a lot until I burnt down about a quarter acre of land over there by Parambital, which, you know, no one ever really found out about. Because I was coming home from elementary school, and it was the first time I came close to the Lord, because I prayed for the Lord for my mom not to find out, because I was more scared of my mom than I was God. And so I was, yeah. So, but that was the last time, you know, I played with fire, and thankfully no one got hurt. And me and the Lord had an agreement that that would be the last time. And thankfully since then I have not played with fire. But the reason I mention that, because now that I'm up here, I play with the fire of the Lord. Amen. And by that I mean, you can take somebody dry who hasn't been to church, who's been out there in the world, you know, and the enemy's had their way with them and knocked them around crazies. And when I start praying for them, with their dryness and that little bit of fire I throw on them, it catches. And for some people it lasts a little longer than others. And the thing about fire is that it burns away impurities. Amen? It takes away the stuff that shouldn't be there. And what's left behind is pure, fortified. Amen? I want to talk to you today about your prayer life, to increase your prayer life. For those of us here, you might not even know what a prayer life is. You might think, hey, just praying in church is enough. And it might not be, depending on what you're trying to do. Amen? If you want to see healing in your family, well, then, you know, you're going to have to step out there. This all came about because my dad came to me, and he calls me, and he says, Lionel, we need to pray for Lori, which is my sister. We need to pray for Lori. She's going through a thing. And I was like, okay. So I got all the specs. What are we praying for exactly? Boom, 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 knocked it out. I guess about a month or two later, you know, the prayers were answered. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He always comes through. And I kind of feel that, you know, my dad was praying, and then he called me, and I'm praying, so we're coming in agreement. So there's fire there, right? And it's good, and my sister got, you know, the answers. And then he called me, and he said, oh, you know, thank you, Jesus. I wanted to call and tell you that, you know, the prayers got answered. I was like, good, Dad, that's awesome. And I kind of felt like, you know, the band was kind of like leaving after that. I was kind of like, are you closing up shop now, Dad? You know, I kind of felt like, you know, you get the cord and you're wrapping it around and you're just, you know, like after church, and then they're putting up the chairs, and it's just like, well, Dad, hold on, wait. I mean, is that all you're going to pray for? Is just, you know, your little immediate circle? Like, what about, you know, your friends? Love thy neighbor, stuff like that. And my dad's all like, yeah, that sounds good, but kind of like a turtle. He was just like, yeah, that sounds good, but I got my prayers answered for my daughter. So. That's all I needed. Bye. Like, no, Dad, there's more. There's more out there. There's friends. There's family. There's all kinds of things that you should be praying for. And that's where this all came about, because I kind of got, like, a little bit angry with my dad, you know. And, Dad, you should be praying for not just us. Because I asked him, I go, who else do you want to pray for? Go, oh, mijo, I always, you know, I pray for your son and the kids. And but that's just one circle, Dad. And I like to, like I told him, I'd like for y'all to step out of that circle of just praying for those you know and those who, you know, you care about. And, you know, it's easy to love those that are lovable. Amen? But we're called to love the unlovable. Amen? Your prayer life. If it was like our credit scores, they're all different. Amen. I mean, some of us have good credit and others running from the law. But like our prayer life, you know, there's some of us who are dedicated and we're praying from the minute we wake up. We're in deep meditation. You know what I mean? I've walked in one time before. I've seen Marty meditating, and he was levitating. That's a lie. I'm just trying to make a joke. But the thing is that if the people in this room, if God were to come and like a credit score, were to just measure your prayer life, what would it be like? Would you be aware of? I mean, for some of us, we can be like, oh, my prayer life is fire, right? There's a classic scene in the Thor Ragnarok. It's a Marvel movie where Thor and the Hulk fight, right? And there's a scene where Thor tries to liken himself to the Hulk, which we all know the Hulk is more awesome than Thor, right? And the thing is that Thor says, "Yeah, we're both like fire." And Hulk says, no, but I'm more like raging fire, and you're like little fire, right? And he says that, and that made me think, like, who the superheroes in this room, right? We got some Hulks, and we have some Thors, you know? And those are the ones that are praying. And hopefully you're in that real powerful level, you know? And if we were to take a credit score of everybody in here, you know, You might think it might be Marty who prays the most, or maybe Lionel who you know supposedly is, you know, preacher over here, you know. No, let's be honest. I mean, like, you know, if you know you're gonna be up here, you're gonna be, you know, preaching from the book. I mean, what lives are you touching? And I'm calling myself out, right? You know, what line of what lives are you touching? Is the only time you pray is in church? Or is the only time you pray when you need something? Amen? What's your prayer life like? Prayer is how we stay in communication with the good Lord. Amen? Who remembers E.T.? It's an old movie. Steven Spielberg. There was an E.T. movie a long time ago, and extraterrestrial. And there was a scene where E.T. is in his little spot, and the little boy is trying to get him to go to his room. And what does he do? He lays out the little Reese's Pieces, and E.T. goes and he's picking them up, and he's following the line of Reese's Pieces from the garage to the room, right? Well, prayer is like the same way. When you pray for something and the Lord answers it, it's sweet, and you pick it up, and yes. But he wants to draw you closer to the other thing. And he wants to draw you to a direction. So he'll answer your prayer for, you know, new shoes and a new phone and a really hot girlfriend and stuff like that, right? And these are the things we pray for, amen? Right? Because, I mean, what else are we going to pray for, right? I mean, it's not like we're going to pray for our enemies. Yeah, right. Jesus was always in prayer. Jesus constantly prayed. He was in constant communication with his Father. It wasn't just something he did on Sundays. He prayed before he did anything. The two fish and five loaves, he didn't just start digging in and be like, oh, this needs some hot sauce on, this is good. No, he lifted it up and said, Lord, bless this. Amen? And that's what we need to do when we have stuff in our life and we want more of it. We lift it up to him so he can bless it and multiply it. Amen? Praying for our enemies is something that's in the Bible, but it's one of those things like forgiveness that we just kind of like, we don't really like, because let's be honest, pray for our enemies. Like, what does that mean? Like, pray they slip on a banana and fall down the stairs? Huh? I know that's what I prayed for some of my enemies. Lord, let them fall down the stairs. Lord, let me be right there when they do fall down the stairs so I can laugh at them really hard, Lord, please. Oh, let me have a tomato so I can just, okay, not me. But what does it mean to pray for your enemies? Has anybody breached the subject? I ask these questions because what does that mean? You want your enemy to be more healthier and stronger? You want your enemy to be more blessed and rich? I don't think so. It's not what I'm going to be praying for. I'll be praying for their demise. But it's not what we're supposed to be praying for, amen? And it's the Holy Spirit that tells me that you can just pray in tongues if you don't want to pray exactly for specific things, amen? You just have to pray for your enemies. And it's not popular because, you know, what does that mean? And I heard a preacher say this one time that if you do have an enemy and you want him, you know, because we all have revenge in our blood. If somebody does us wrong, especially if you're Mexican, you want to get them back. Amen? Anyway, you want to get them back. But when you take that into your own hands, you get in the way of the good Lord. Because vengeance is his. Now, I don't know that we serve such a vengeful God. You know, he's going to take him out by prayer, you know. But I've heard a preacher say that if you pray for your enemies, you allow the good Lord to apply his pressure. Amen? And I like that because I watch a lot of gangster movies, and when the boss applies pressure, you know what I'm saying? Well, someone's getting clipped. You know what I'm saying? And I'm preaching honest. Right? Because we all want to see our enemies driven before us. Right? The good Lord says that he's going to set a table in front of our enemies. What does that mean? I know it's a subject that we don't really care to embrace. But I hope I can shed some light on it. And I hope that you can take this back and pray for your enemies along with the people you love. You know what I mean? Because it's easy to pray for, you know, your good friends and you know, and your good-looking cousins and on stuff like that. But, you know, you need to also pray for the cousins that are lost, that you haven't seen in church. Uh-huh. Amen. In fact, you know, I have a cousin right now, my cousin Chris, and I want to pray for him right now. If the church can just indulge me and just say, Heavenly Father, Chris, we just pray for him right now. Just wherever he's at, we just pray that you come to him, Father. Bring him to the house. If not this house, a house, Father. House of the Lord, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you for indulging me. I felt that was a bit selfish, but I wanted to do that for my cousin. I love him. All prayers will be answered in due time. Now, a lot of times we pray, and some prayers, man, they're lickety-split. They're like lightning. They're just like, whoosh, answer real fast. And others, well, you know, still waiting. But they're coming in due time. Not our time. In due time. I know my daughter, she's probably ready to graduate right now, but it's not ready to graduate right now yet. It's after May. But I know right now she's ready to leave, ready to leave the house and go to college and do whatever. But it all happens at a specific time. Due time. Amen. That milk in your fridge is going to go bad eventually. They're all going to go bad at different times. And just like those things, just like that milk that has its time, due time for your prayer to be answered, it will be answered. And when the time is right, when your heart is ready, and a lot of us are like, well, I'm ready now. Yeah, well, you say that. But according to your credit scores right here, I don't think you are. A little more time. Prayer life. When you wake up in the morning, you should be in deep meditation before your feet even hit the ground. And that's a good way to start the day. Amen? And in that time, you can pray for your enemies, and pray for your loved ones, and pray for those who you don't know. And that's the ticket. See, I remember one time I was at a hospital for a different reason with a friend, and right next to me there was a guy who his arm was in a sling, and I was reading the back of his shirt, and it was he was a lawn service cutter, something trees or whatever, and I guess he fell out of a tree or something, and he was talking to his wife at the time, and he was concerned about missing work, and I could feel a pulling in my spirit because they were like next to me. I was over here, and they were right there. And I could overhear everything, and the Holy Spirit was like, go over there and pray for them. And I didn't want to because I thought that's going to be weird. I'm going to feel weird doing it. I don't want to do it. And the Lord made me do it. And I did it. And I did it. And here's the other thing. Sometimes you might not always see the results of what you pray. Sometimes you just got to pray, let it go, and don't look back. Amen? And just know that you know that you know that the Lord has answered, will answer that prayer. It will not return void. Amen? You can pray things into certain people's life. Plenty of unbelievers I come across. And when I talk to them about things, and they're like, oh, man, they got this thing I'm dealing with, Lionel. I got cirrhosis of the liver. Well, I'm going to pray for you. Well, it's beyond that, man. I've done too many bad things. Like, no, I don't accept that. And I don't believe that for you. And for you, I believe the good Lord has healing for you, despite your belief. Amen? And you can force those things into their lives. And as they're shaking their head, like, no, not me. I'm undeserving. I'll just give those prayers to my grandma. She's a good lady. She goes to church all the time. And you deserve some good stuff too. Amen? Good Lord didn't come for grandma's always going to church. The good Lord came for sinners. Sinners. The imperfect. I firmly believe that the good Lord, when he's in this room, he moves past the ones that are all holy moly and, you know what I mean, come to church with their ties and they have it all together. And he goes directly past all those to the one who needs it the most. The one who's hung over. The one who has drugs in their pocket. The one who has bad intentions in their heart, even after church. That's the one he comes for. Amen? That's the Lord we serve. Amen. When you're in prayer, you stay in communication with the good Lord. You're just, he knows where you're at. It's kind of like in basketball, you know, you got to know where the hoop is. You know what I'm saying? Because you could be doing all this stuff over here and, you know, spinning and moving. And you get turned around and you don't know where the basketball hoop is. And when they throw you the ball, you're just like, it's over there. And you know what I mean? You got to know where the hoop is. So when you're in prayer, you constantly know where the good Lord is. Because the enemy's come to steal, kill, and destroy everything. So he's going to come at you. He's going to come at your health. You know what I mean? He's going to come at your head the most. He can get you confused. He can get you, you know, disoriented. Help me, Jesus. You know, when you play beer pong and you're trying to throw the thing, the other team will be like, oh, yeah, and stuff like that, right? Well, that's kind of how the enemy comes at you. When you're trying to stay focused on the thing you're trying to do. I mean, hopefully it's other than just beer pong. I mean, but when you're trying to stay focused on the good things, distractions will come. Prayer keeps you focused. Prayer keeps you centered. An increased prayer life. For some of us, a lot of people believe prayer is just a thing. And it can be lost if you don't feel that there's any power in it. And even though I'm up here preaching, and there are times when I've prayed and said stuff and kind of felt like, were those just words? Am I crazy? Do I look like that crazy dude just praying for people like the end is near and the thing, right? I mean, I feel like that sometimes, you know, because I'm talking about the good Lord and all his goodness, and some people just, they can't relate. Kind of like when that whole Spanish thing was, I kind of felt a little bit left out. I was like, I didn't know what they're talking about. They're talking about me. yeah, I lost my place. Prayer keeps you centered. Prayer keeps you in that place where God wants you or doesn't want you. Amen? Because you can pray for something and pray like, Lord, you know, pray for something, and then the door is locked. Now, why won't this door open? Lord, it's locked. I'm trying to, it won't open. I locked it. Go away. Let it go. Do something else. Go to a door that's open. Amen? Because he closes and shuts doors for our benefit. Because sometimes we do. We get mad. Why won't this door open? I want to go in here and destroy myself, Lord. Why won't you let me? And he's good enough to save us from ourselves. Amen? Keep us from ourselves, because a lot of times we're our own worst enemy. We get in the way of what needs to be done and what needs to be done for ourselves and the people around us. Amen? Prayer is important. When there's altar call, a lot of times people take that as an opportunity to check their phones. Like, oh, altar call. Church is over. Get out of here, man. I'm going to go eat some fried chicken and start checking their phone and stuff, right? And then Marty will say something like, church, extend your hands, and then you'll extend your hands. And I've seen a girl one time be like, oh, I need to do my nails today. Look at those. I need to get those filled in. And instead of praying for the person, they're already thinking, I'm going to get my nails done, and then I have to go to the mall. Right? Because you're not the one in pain. Because it's not you that needs something. And that's why it's important that if you got all your stuff together, and even if you don't, it doesn't matter. And you extend your hands to someone up here who's crying, shaking, and they're in a place There's power in that, church. When the entire church extends their hands, you can pray specific things into their life. Amen. Because Marty can be up here saying, like, I loose you and I bind that. And I don't know what that person needs. But I can just stand there and I can just say, Lord, I don't know what that person needs, but just bless them. And it can be as simple as that. Or maybe you know exactly what they need because you've been there. Like, oh, Lord, keep the enemy, keep them far from that bar, Lord. Keep that drug dealer away from them, Lord. And you can just, and you can pray extra stuff on. And to care about a stranger, you know, that shows love. That shows love. You're not talking about love. You're actually doing something. You know, when a jet needs to take off, there's the pressure of the jet, the propellers, or, you know, the thing closes, and it concentrates all the power so that the jet can take off, right, and move forward. And that's what happens when the entire church extends their hands. There is just a massive rush of power. And you got to know that. And it's the enemy's job to discourage you from that. The enemy doesn't want the entire church praying for one person up here. But that's when that one person is up here and the entire church prays, mountains can be moved, people. Amen? Things can happen. Healing can manifest. But we just have to get out of our selfish mode of wanting to get home and see the game or see the movie, go to sleep or eat, whatever it is. If you can get past those feelings and think about, consider the person for just a little while. Because if you were up here and you were in pain, you'd want the church. You'd want to know that when they extended the hands, everybody was praying for you. Whether they're praying in tongues and praying specific things or unspecific, they're praying. They're engaged. Power. There's power in your prayer. And I guess that's the most thing I want everybody to leave here with, that there's power in prayer. Amen? I've had the privilege of praying a couple of times in my bar for people. You know what I mean? And prayers can happen fast. Prayers can happen fast. They don't have to be all long and drawn out and, you know, people dancing and all sorts of candles burning. It doesn't have to be all dramatic. It can be as fast as, you know, 30 seconds. You know what I mean? I heard there was a the guard. What's that? The Coast Guard. They were interviewing a Christian, and he was in the Coast Guard. And one of the things he said was that when I'm flying this helicopter with over the ocean and I'm trying to pick up people, he goes, you'd be surprised where you can squeeze into prayer. And that made me laugh because I'm thinking, you know, when you're flying a helicopter, you'd be like, oh, man, you know, you're going to squeeze a prayer in somewhere, right? Okay, so take away the helicopter, and where can you squeeze in a prayer? Amen? There's plenty of time, plenty of opportunity for you to squeeze in a prayer for yourself or someone close to you. Amen? And there's power in that. And the enemy wants you to believe that there's nothing going on, but we war in spirit. Amen? We don't war in the physical. And I know a lot of times we want to handle things ourselves, but when we pray and let him handle it, I mean, he really handles it. He knows how to do it. Let him apply the pressure to your enemies. Amen? So I hope this opened your eyes to the awareness of prayer, that you have power. Amen? Each and every person in here has the power. The Bible says you can lay your hands and there be healing for everybody. Did it say just for men? Did it say just for the ladies above 30? No, there's no category. And I think that's the enemy's one of his tricks is he wants you to believe that you're just so covered in sin, that you're so covered in whatever that now you can't possibly lay your hands because you're just I know where you were last night and stuff like that. And that's not true. That's a lie. That old lying devil. Don't believe him. He's a liar. There's power in your hands. Know that if you lay your hands on somebody, healing is manifesting as you do it. As soon as you touch, that whatever you pray for, where two come together, in the midst, he is there in the midst. That means middle. He's not off to the side. In the middle, if you allow him. Like I said, I've had the privilege of praying for people in the bar. Quick little prayers. There was a good friend of mine, and it was very peculiar. She hadn't been in a long time, and she's a good friend. And I was clocking in at 7, and she was already, like, paying her tab. And as she was leaving, she had, you know, this big old, like, she had broken arm or something. And I quickly went over there and just touched her hand, and I said, healing. And we only had about a few minutes together because she was already getting her coat on and leaving. I thought, no, she ain't going to leave without some prayer, especially a friend. You know what I mean? Because when I see other people like strangers, and I want to pray for them, that's such a weird situation because it's like I don't want to go up to a stranger and just start, you know, getting all... You know what I mean? Start freaking them out. Like, who's this guy? You know what I mean? I'm in a bar. I don't expect to hear prayer in a bar. You know what I mean? And, you know, but I don't accept that. I don't accept you have to be in this setting for there to be healing. Amen? I feel like you can be in any setting. Because Jesus went everywhere. I mean, he went to places where he wasn't, you know. I love it when he went to that one place where he left behind all the religious people to go hang out with all the thugs and hustlers. What was that? Remember with the collectors, the tax collectors. And Jesus went to go hang with the tax collectors, and then all the holy people stayed over here. And I love that about my Jesus, that he'll go to the ghetto. You know what I mean? He'll go to that trap house. Amen? There ain't no place that he won't go. It's not like he said, oh, no, I ain't going over there. I'm going to hang out with y'all with the big hats and stuff like that. No. No, he came for the broken. Amen? He came for the broken. So I pray that we can all leave here with an increased prayer life, or at least an awareness of your prayer life, that maybe, okay, you know, I just, you know, and to watch the good Lord bring somebody in front of you. You know, an enemy, somebody you don't like, somebody really gets on your nerve. You know what I'm talking about. When you get on, you just see that person, oh, Lord. You already start praying like, oh, this guy. And the good Lord will help you through that because he wants you to pray for them. It's a test. It's a test for you to pray for them. Amen? All right, we're going to leave there. And hopefully you can have an increased prayer life. Amen. Woo. I'm going to take the water.
Water, sir. Increased prayer life. Amen. How many of you got checked with that? Right? Check. Why you got to bring that word? Lionel, I thought we were cousins, man. Why you got to put my business out there like that? Prayer. You know, I love that you shared what you shared. I pray in my bar. The problem with a lot of Christians today is they don't take ownership of where they're at. They believe that the darkness rules over the light, and you have it backwards. We rule over darkness. How else can our light shine unless we are around darkness? I love one of my spiritual daughters in the house. I won't mention any names, Cherie, but she, sorry. She has a ministry that she wants to go out and minister to strippers in the club. And I said, go. She said, nobody wants to go. I said, well, wait, hold up now. If it's your ministry, it's yours. Don't expect it to be others. Go. You see, that's the heart of ministering and looking for the lost. What good are we if we're around nothing but light? I'm going to tell you the truth what we are. We're irritating. Y'all didn't like that one? Y'all didn't like that one, did you? If you only hang around light, it's irritating. Because what happens is you start jockeying for position. How much you know and what I know more than you. How long I've been in this. You don't know where I came from. You know my ministry. You know my resume. Shut up. Go to the darkness. Go into the world. Go to the highways and the byways. And say go into the cathedrals, go into the synagogues, didn't go into the churches. Go to the highways and the byways. Why? Because you're the light that they'll see God in. And they'll say, I need your peace. Amen. That's what it's about. Oh, whoever you are, stop it. Whoever you are, stop it right now. You're challenging me. Stop it in your mind. Stop it right now. Darkness does not leap on you. Fighting in scripture where it tells me that darkness jumped on any of the disciples. When you find it, come show me. There you go again. Sons of Sceva. That wasn't it. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. There was no relationship there. No relationship there. That's why they got beat up, stripped naked, because they didn't have a relationship. You have a relationship with Jesus, you understand your authority, you understand what's on you, and you understand that you release the kingdom in the darkness. That every demon in hell is scared of you. Don't try to challenge me with your theology. Don't. I'll tell you this right now, whoever you are, your righteousness in him will be released to every foul and unclean spirit and drive it away. Amen. You do not get defiled. And this is an old teaching. You get defiled when you come around the dead things. If you touch dead things, you become defiled. That was old biblical teachings that was done in the Old Testament to prove to you that you have to understand what is dead and what is life. That's what that was for. What is dead and what is life? Stay away from dead things so you don't touch it to become defiled. Now we have we have Jesus on our side, that he is the righteousness within us that makes us righteous and makes us whole. So that when we touch dead things, every time Jesus touched a dead thing, guess what happened? They came to life. There was a procession of a funeral, and the boy, and it says little boy, but the young lad that was in the actual casket rose because he touched. He didn't come defiled. So what it does, it negates the old teachings to say that you become defiled when you touch dirty things. No, you make it cleanse. Amen. Hallelujah. Because if that be the case, then none of us would have been made whole. Unless you came out wearing your righteous robe when you were born. But we weren't. It took someone to say, I see something in you. And I want to bring that goodness forward. Amen.